The opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better. It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Welcome your hosts, Byron White and Amanda Smith.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Happy to have you back. Mandy, how are you?
I'm great, as usual. You know me. Never bad.
Yes, indeed. Rock solid, happy energy. That's a good that's a good code name for you. Happy energy, that should be your call.
That's a long code name.
So we've got a fun show today. And, of course, our theme of making life smarter, better, faster, and wiser starts with making your diet better and making your nutritional life better and making you look and feel better with secrets of revitalizing and regenerating at any age with an author we're bringing on today, Dr. Maosheng Ni, who I probably didn't pronounce correctly, but we'll at least learn the correct pronunciation in a few minutes. He's the author of a new book called Second Spring. Fun book. I have it in front of me.
You know what? We're actually we can shorten the name down to Dr. Mao. I learned this shortcut, so we don't even have to worry about butchering another name.
Well, I kind of like full pronunciations, and I'd like to really learn what the pronunciation is. That'll be half the fun today, probably.
Awesome.
But Dr. Mao, that sounds great. And have you dabbled in some of his fabulous, historically significant, I'm sure, tips and advice in his wonderful book?
Well, you know, we're actually, today is going to be focused so much on women's health. And I know that we always talk about some great health segments, especially with Marlene Cray, who is, you know, our ongoing health expert. But I really wanted to dive into some really serious women's health topics. I mean, you hear about it on the news, breast cancer, cervical cancer, all sorts of issues that women have to deal with. And, you know, I certainly wanted to dive into that a little bit. So I figured maybe you can learn a little bit from it, Byron, and take it home and tell your wife.
Well, you know, I am going to focus intensely today on behalf of my wife because it sounds like there's some really neat secrets here. Hundreds of natural secrets for women to revitalize and regenerate at any age is the cover of this book. And it's a wonderfully designed and gorgeously presented book. It actually would fit beautifully with our whole color schema, don't you think?
I fully agree. It is a gorgeous-looking book.
This would work well on the homepage of Life Tips, so we'll have to think about that a little bit. But let's take a quick break, everyone, and then we'll be back with Dr. Mao.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
XY7 with the affiliate market. Are you an affiliate? If yes, you'll pay me. No ifs, ands, or maybes. Get paid daily. Make a mad dash. Sign up is a flash. Quickly convert the clicks into cash. Affiliate marketing network is first place. I cut to the chase. It's all performance based. Listen to what I'm telling you, cause this what you better do. Join as a publisher and maximize your revenue. Think we agreed that money is what you need. Indeed, you can get paid from sales and leads. Not one thing lacking. Don't get it cracking. Even comes with state of the art tracking. Where did it start? You can do it a couple ways. 866XY7 page. It's toll free. Tell me what you waiting on. So log on to XY7.com.
Are you happy with your landing page performance? Discover how to improve your landing page performance with ConversionCritic.com, brought to you by Engine Ready. Turn your underperforming landing pages into cost-effective sales-producing machines. Be sure you're not wasting your precious PPC budget. Conversion Critic tools give you the ingredients to create high-converting landing pages. You don't have to be an expert to use Engine Ready's Conversion Critic tools, but you'll feel like a landing page pro. Take the guesswork out of increasing your conversion rate. Visit ConversionCritic.com and boost your conversion rate for free. That's www.conversioncritic.com.
FriendFinder. The world's largest online dating network. Featuring over over 100 million profiles
at hot sites such as Passion.com and FastCupid.com represents enormous profit-making opportunities for webmasters just like you. With FriendFinder's ability to geo-target and provide billing solutions in most languages and currencies, you are sure to find our comprehensive network to be a good friend to your wallet.
Get more traffic-maximizing details now at FriendFinder.com.
Rainmaker. Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Entertainment Channel.
Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Hey, everybody. We are back, and we are speaking with Dr. Mao. Dr. Mao, are you on with us?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. We were actually just taking a look at your beautiful book. I know Byron loves the cover. So tell us a little bit more about the book and about where you did your research, and give us some background on what you've been working on.
That's great. Well, first of all, I wanted to just tell Byron that he's pronouncing my name correctly. That's Mao Xing Ni, and that's absolutely correct. So you're the first one.
That's awesome.
So thank you.
Maybe the only thing I get right today.
I'm sure you get a lot other things right. But Second Spring was really inspired from my mother, watching her go through her Second Spring. But I want to preface this by saying that in the East and in the West, we look at women's issues differently. For example, in the Western culture, so midlife menopause means sort of, to a lot of women, kind of beginning of the end. And it's like, okay, time to be, sort of farmed out to the pasture, more or less. But in China, in particular, the Eastern culture, we don't have a word for menopause. We have a word for this change called Second Spring. Because inherently, the culture recognizes that the first half of a woman's life is devoted to family, children, everyone other than her. And second half of their life is when a woman begins to explore, discover, and blossom into herself. And so it's an incredibly empowering time, and Second Spring. And I watched my mother go through this, firsthand, and her transformation to reinvent her life. And it was very inspiring to watch that process. But I also had the privilege of spending 20 years doing a research project interviewing centenarians all over China. And what I've learned about the concept of aging and the actual practice of anti-aging. And so I've written 11 other books. This is my 12th book, but there was one book addressing specifically on longevity issues. So Second Spring is kind of a follow-up to that, but particularly this addresses women's issues. Now, you had talked about earlier how, so you learn as much as possible on behalf of your wife. You actually might find, surprisingly, many of the advice I give in the book very applicable to men as well. Because obviously, unless you're not vain at all, the ageless skin, probably the ageless beauty, is probably also would be something that would be applicable. But many other things, of course, everything from circulation to brain health to bone health to easing pain, as well as energy, weight management, mood, and sleep. So it's got a lot of areas that I cover. But anyway, Second Spring so really is about the ability and time to rejuvenate yourself, and that you can begin your Second Spring anytime by discovering yourself and reinventing your life. So, and this book is meant to be helpful in giving you a lot of advice and tips on how you can rejuvenate yourself and get to where you want to be.
So, Byron, I know that your wife is younger. She's certainly not at the menopause age yet. But do you think she can certainly benefit from some of these different health routines in preparing for later in life?
Well, I'm on about page 81 so far and reading quickly, and I think that I have actually can benefit a lot myself from some of these interesting applications here, but just give us a little bit of insight, if you would, with what you think the enemies are with this sort of middle age crisis, which is probably both a psychological one as well as a physical one, perhaps even more the former than the latter. But tell us a little bit about, you know, the transformation of the body, what's going on in a woman's body, and why you think, and what some of your favorite, life improvement, you know, tips and advice would be for somebody.
Yes, and you've hit the nail right on the head. It is both psychological and physical, and certainly our perception, perspective on what this process entails, this midlife change. For a woman, her body begins to change actually at age 35, so it's actually never too early to start preparing for these aging decline, if you will, but you don't have to be a victim of that. So as you get towards 40, the body will begin to shift and prepare for menopause, which is the shutting down of your ability to procreate, to get pregnant. And so women will experience more PMS symptoms, more of those exaggerated symptoms. And what happens, though, at this point is that your body is actually amping up estrogen. It's producing more hormones, not less, because before it shuts down, it's going to really make that last hurrah as well as store up as much hormones in your system to prepare for the inevitable sort of winter of that, of the reproductivity. So the symptoms actually come from too much. So at this point, one needs to balance. And then as you get closer to 45, 50, then the actual menopause sets in. That's when then the system shuts down and you don't have enough, and that's when we need to amp it back up. And we do this naturally because the human body is incredible in its ability to heal, ability to restore, and we just need to communicate with the body with the right message, which, by the way, includes psychological, you know, what you tell your body, what you tell yourself, as well as through various ways of stimulating, such as acupuncture, which is what I do. I have a practice with seven doctor group in Santa Monica called Dalla Wellness. We've seen about 25,000 women over the last 30 years here. And we use nutrients like diet, nutrition, supplements, herbs, and exercise and meditation and all the techniques that can help the body rejuvenate, restore, renew itself.
Tell me a little bit about brain decay. I was reading one of your tips, you know, three ways to keep brain decline at bay. You talk a little bit about certainly exercise and ginkgo biloba, yeah. A traditional Japanese herb, I guess. I'd like to hear a little bit about that. But, you know, brain decay, I think I definitely have a problem there myself. So can you expand upon that a little bit?
Yes. The brain decline actually is a kind of an interesting phenomenon because on one hand, there is an aging-related issue that takes place where synapses slow down, where there's less circulation, less oxygen and nutrients in the brain. But there's also an emotional factor too, stress. Emotional stress will also weaken and slow down the brain functions. But what's really neat about it is that you can totally reverse a lot of this decline, even like early onset senility or Alzheimer's. When it's at the very beginning stage and, you know, some of the amyloid plaque is building up and so forth, there are ways naturally to start stimulating circulation. So you talked about ginkgo. Ginkgo is actually a Chinese herb, but it's, you know, sort of identifies as a Japanese herb because there's been a lot of research in Japan on the herb. But the actual herb itself has been researched to and documented to show that it does increase blood flow to the brain, therefore delivering more oxygen to the brain cells. But there are many other ways to activate your brain. For example, one of my favorite ways is green tea. Now, from all the research I've done, and I've interviewed a lot of centenarians, about 100 of them in China, just about every one of them starts their morning with a cup of green tea. And so research on the green tea actually show that there are a number of benefits, one of which is that it can definitely stimulate brain function and stave off, because population studies actually show that those who consume green tea on a regular basis have less incidence of, let's say, brain-related issues and declines. Well, green tea contains amino acid theanine, for example, which is one of the active ingredients for neurochemical acetylcholine, and GABA and other type of amino acid compounds. So, besides the fact that it is an antioxidant, potent antioxidant, so the polyphenols can mop up some of the free radicals that are causing brain aging. So that's one thing people can do. They can take ginkgo, maybe start substituting green tea for coffee, as an example, right? Mm-hmm. And then there are other many other tips. I mean, I give actually finger exercise, because the nerve endings of your fingers go directly to the brain. So the exercising your fingers, doing things as simple as, sort of knitting, crocheting, playing games with your finger and so forth can stimulate brain functions as well.
Dr. Mao, is there any chance that you can overindulge in green tea if, say, you drink it all day, all the time, such as myself?
Yeah, it's a good question. As with anything, you can overdo anything. So green tea obviously has some caffeine. And so for people who are sensitive to caffeine, I would suggest that you get the naturally decaffed kind, or you can decaf it yourself by steeping green tea for 1 minute and then pour out. And then add hot water. So about 90% of the caffeine will leave with the first steeping. So that's one way. And but outside of that, outside of the caffeine, no, there's no bad effects to green tea. I mean, all the research seems to point to be tremendous benefit.
Byron, are you a tea drinker?
I am now. Every morning, cup of tea. Now, I've always, I've stayed away from all coffee and tea for my whole life. Believe it or not, I've never fallen into an interest of having tea or coffee. What are your thoughts on that? No tea, no coffee, no caffeine, no
tea,
soda.
No coffee. Exactly, and I think that's an excellent policy. And even green tea, where if you can get the decaf kind, that's fine.
Right.
If you don't have a habit of drinking anything in the morning or throughout your day, that's fine. But as long as you get the fluid intake through water and other means, I think that's great. But for those people who would like to benefit from some of the, like I said, the polyphenols, the antioxidants, and the beneficial properties of green tea for the brain, it's something that I recommend. And by the way, same thing goes for black tea and white tea. They all contain enormous amounts of antioxidants. And again, the thing is to try to naturally decaf it, or you buy them decaf already.
Do you happen to have any cures for balding, even though it may not apply to too many women?
Actually, hair loss is a big complaint. I mean, we work with that all the time. We have patients come in, and, the usual things are like hot flash, sweats, insomnia, headache, mood swings, and dryness, dry skin and low libido, and the brain cognitive decline. But hair loss is sort of maybe about 20% what drives them in. They say, gee, doc, I'm losing hair. It's thinning. My hair's thinning. It's drying out, and I feel totally embarrassed by it. And we'll look at them and we'll evaluate, and most likely what we find is that at this point, perimenopause or menopause, there is a change to the hormonal system, particularly affecting the thyroid. So the thyroid function will actually decrease, slow down. That's when the weight gain comes on around the belly especially, and then the hair loss. So oftentimes we will work naturally with the thyroid and the rest of the hormonal system, and what they'll find is that the hair will actually come back and the weight will come off as well.
So what exactly you're doing with your thyroidal treatment?
Well, there are a couple ways that you can do. One is, we are using acupuncture to stimulate thyroid functions, but besides that, we put people on an eating program that will stimulate the thyroid production. And a couple ways you can do that. One is we have them eat seaweed, lots of leafy green vegetables, as well as increased protein intake, so lean protein, that is. So we're talking about chicken, turkey, fish, and some lean lamb, for example. and we will see an uptick in their thyroid functions naturally. So in this case, we're not advocating, unless they're really ill with a thyroid disorder and they have to be on medication, ideally we would want to do it naturally through diet and maybe some supplements. So it could be things like extract, glandular extract to thyroid, and that's also a viable way to gently stimulate the thyroid back into action.
We talk hydration a lot on the show. We're big fans of hydrating and almost promoting overhydration. What's your spin on the amount of water and intake one needs to keep the fluids of their body going and affect the blood flow and of course the skin? You know, your skin is your largest gland in your body, as it turns out, as you well know. You know, what's your take on that? How much water do you recommend someone drinking in the course of the day, based upon their weight? Of course, is a variation, but what's your take on hydration?
I think that's very important, and in fact, most people don't drink enough water. That's the reality, and depending on what the activity level is, and of course the size of the person, the larger you are, the more water you need, and the more active physically you are, the more you need, and if weather's hot, and so forth. So minimally people ought to be getting 4 to 6 cups of water a day. And if they're exercising, they're running marathon, they're playing sports, they need to be getting 8 to 10 glasses of water. And also refilling the electrolytes in their system. So water is critical. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I have patients who actually come in and one of the complaints they have is they're tired. They get run out of steam easily. And I'll just casually ask them, well, so how many cups of water did you drink yesterday when you were so tired? So she kind of sit there and count for a moment. She goes, well, I drank about two cups of water. And obviously, actually, her fatigue came from water directly, lack of water. Mm-hmm. And so when we make that suggestion and correct that, patient comes back the following week and say, you know, doc, I can't believe. I mean, it's so simple, but I start drinking 4, 6, 7 cups of water, and my energy went right back up. And so there's no question, when you are not drinking enough water, where 70% of your body is consists of water, you're basically not lubing everything. The water just it's one of these carriers that enable all functions to happen.
Dr. Mal, aside from the repeat, the obvious offenders like, you know, white sugar and you know, foods that are normally bad, are there any nutritional foods that you suggest that women stay away from that we might not think of?
That women should stay away from? Oh, you mean like bad foods? Obviously,
yeah.
Bad foods. Oh, besides the white foods you're talking about.
Right.
Yes. I mean, it's very cultural. I mean, ranging from, I think if people consume too much red meat, they're going to increase the risk for heart disease and stroke and cancer even because of the fat. So the animal fat needs to be really moderated. That's a huge, huge one. And salt, high salt intake. And a lot of women come in with it bloated all the time. So something that is simple is just staying away from. And then, you know, we get a lot of good press about chocolate and how that is, filled with antioxidants. But one of the problems with chocolate is that, you know, my patients come and say, and actually stick a study in my face and say, doc, look, the great antioxidants in chocolate. I should eat more of it. So here they're just picking out chocolate. But you know, regular chocolate contains not just cocoa, in fact, but milk fat, sugar, and probably 20 other chemicals that and you probably don't want to know, palm oil and so forth, very highly saturated fats, bad for you. And but the studies conducted are based on pure cocoa. Now, I challenge anybody to eat 100% cocoa chocolate and tell me that they actually like it without sugar, without all the other fat in it. And so, you know, so obviously that's something that I find that most people ought to avoid if possible. And a little treat here and there is not a problem, but that's something that I find that people are over-consuming. Now, another thing that I also suggest is not drinking icy cold beverages. I know it's very common for us to go to a restaurant, ask for ice water, or they just bring it up, or iced tea, or iced everything. Well, it's a shock to your system when you drink anything ice cold. Body temperature is 98.6. Ice cold beverages are from 25 to 35 degrees. There's a temperature differential of about 70 degrees. What you're doing is you are shocking the body and then having to use the body's resources to warm up everything that comes into your body. And then secondly, as that cold, icy beverage hits your esophagus and your stomach, it constricts and causing blood flow constriction. This is one of the actually main causes of stomach problems that we see all the time. In America, we have so many people walking around with reflux, acid reflux, indigestion, heartburns, and all kinds of problems. Well, it has an origin in just constantly bombarding your digestive system with icy cold beverages. So room temperature whenever possible, or lukewarm, closer to your body temperature.
Well, that hits close to home, doesn't it, Byron?
Really interesting. What's your take on spicy foods and chilies and things that make you sweat when you eat them?
Actually, spicy foods, excellent. There are so many good studies that show what it does. I mean, most spices are mild blood thinners, so they're actually good for your heart. Circulation may even spike up your libido and sexual function. So I recommend it. I recommend eating spicy food. Although I think moderation still is key here. If you overdo it, it might irritate the stomach, creating issues. But definitely garlic, onions, scallions, and ginger, and turmeric, chili pepper, and all kinds of spices. I'm a big fan of spices.
Hmm. And do you have any favorite food groups that you think are interesting with regards to overall health?
Yes, I do. I do. In my second spring book, I talk a lot about the benefits and virtues of nuts and seeds. Nuts and seeds are, besides the beneficial fatty acids that are good for you, good cholesterol, protects you from heart disease and all that, it's also beneficial for the brain. And additionally, it's rich in arginine. And so arginine is a amino acid that's a precursor to the hormones. And so it's both good for the estrogen, it's good for the testosterone. So again, I look at nuts and seeds as an anti-aging food, and especially the seeds. Now, you look at flax seeds. A lot of people take flaxseed oil, which is filled with beneficial omega fatty acids, but in the hull of the seed contains the phytol hormones, the phytoestrogen. So that comes from the plant. And so it's a shame if we just do the oil and not the lignin that's in the seed. So you take the seed and you grind it up, and then you can sprinkle in your cereal. You can put in your shake if you want, and that's how you access it. So eat the nuts and seeds, at least a couple small handfuls every single day in between meals, and that'll also sustain your energy level.
You have a fabulous, on page 284 of your book, you talk about your bedroom, your oasis. fascinating piece of advice. Could you comment a little bit about that? Ergonomic observation environment and the cocoon, as you call it?
Right. Well, since we do spend a third of our lives sleeping, you better make sure that it's a restorative space. And, you know, we clutter up our bedroom, most people, with, you know, TVs and all kinds of stuff, which is somewhat distracting if you're trying to get a good sleep. So trying to make it like a cocoon so that you feel safe, you feel protected, and you can feel rested in it. Couple very simple feng shui tips, which is basically science of placement so that you can maximize beneficial energy. If your bed is, the head of your bed is against, you know, sort of against the door, that doesn't make any sense because then you don't know who's coming in. So you need to have the foot of your bed at least, sort of in the direction of the door. And if you want, better yet, you know, place your bed diagonally to the door. and have some kind of plant or screen, you know, so that you can have a little barrier. Again, you don't want to be surprised, you know, sleeping in the middle of night and someone walking in. And that's, even if no one does that, just it's a feeling that's insecure. And also pairing objects, like, you know, because the bedroom represents the relationship of your life. And relationship mm-hmm. obviously takes place between you and someone else. So you and your spouse, you and your significant others. So you want, if that, you want that to happen in your life, you've got to have paired objects. So two nightstands, two lamps. So it's very important to have pairs. All right, two chairs, as for example. So for the single people out there who would like to, you know, bring in this energy into their life, they should prepare for two, not just one. The bed should be, you know, higher than the floor because of draft and because of dampness, and remove noisy, you know, objects and so forth from your bedroom. If possible, you know, get rid of the TV. You know, it's a place for it's a sanctuary for calm, for peace, and a loud ringing phone is also not a very good idea. So anyway, that's part of what Second Spring is about, is everything you do, you know, ranging from what you put in your body to the exercise you do, to the thoughts that are in your mind, and to the place in which you spend a lot of your time, your home, your bedroom, are all important. And these are all places where you can begin to implement your own rebirth, your own Second Spring.
Hey, Dr. Mount, we actually have a question from our producer, George. He wants to know if there's what's your take on vegetables, the amount of greens you eat in the course of a day, and do you have a preference on what's better? Is it steaming or boiling? What helps more?
Right. Well, you know, as much as possible. I don't think you can overeat fruits and vegetables, and especially a lot of leafy green vegetables with all that beneficial chlorophyll. And so I would suggest at least 5 to 7 servings of vegetables and fruits. And, in fact, the USDA recommends even more, so for cancer prevention and all of that. As far as cooking, you know, obviously you don't want to lose the vitamins, so steaming is probably your best way without losing vitamins. However, you know, people don't like steaming because it's very bland. It's not interesting. So you can actually stir fry in a little bit of water. So you put a little water in the pan, you put the vegetables in there all nicely chopped up, and then you stir it, cover it, and within 1 minute, it's a steaming process anyway, right? And then you can add the sauce and you can add the other flavoring, seasoning to it, and it's done. You can add the oil at the end when you turn off the fire so you don't destroy the oil. And so that's what I prefer to do, and yet, you know, capturing the nutrition as well as the flavor of the vegetables.
Well, Dr. Mel, if our listeners want to learn more about it, do you have a website set up where people can come and learn?
Yes, you can check out Second Spring and many of my other books on AskDrMao.com. That's AskDrMao.com.
What do you think, Byron? Did you learn a lot today?
You know, on behalf of trying to catapult and increase Dr. Mao's book sales, we're going to have to cut this short. But yes, to answer your question, this is a most fascinating book. I was just reading the back cover with a handsome picture of you, Dr. Mao, I might add. And I was noting that you're a 38th38th generation doctor of traditional Chinese medicine. Can you talk about that before we go? 38th
generation,
traditional Chinese medicine.
I was lucky to be born into a family that has spanned almost 800 years. We've all been doctors, and we actually been very fortunate that this medicine has been handed down to us.
And are there actual physical recipes, pieces of paper, or 800 years, let me think about that, what were we scribing on back in those days? But are there really, is the tradition passed literally through the generations of many of your tips and advice?
Yes. In our family, we have actually herbal formulas that have been passed down, been in use for that particular period of time.
Wow.
So it's we're very fortunate. And what's nice about this continuous tradition is that every generation, if they come up with something that really works, well, it just gets accumulated and passed down. So we've been very fortunate to come into this kind of really incredibly rich trove of knowledge and wisdom from our ancestors. So I'm very fortunate. I count my blessings every single day.
One more question for you. You know, overall, as you have diagnosed so many Americans probably here in the States, and you look at some of the Chinese medical traditions and history, you know, do you think that our society and our culture and our habits and our, you know, the other things that are part of our generation are getting too hard to overcome, if you will, with any forms of medicine? Are we destructing our bodies at a rapid pace? And what's your take on traditional medicine that is pumping chemicals in our body to try to, you know, prolong our life and fight disease? Do you see that as a tension point as well as it relates to traditional Chinese medicine?
Well, I actually think that even though there are modern lifestyle issues that causes a lot of problems, the very basis of Chinese medicine is about working with the body. It's about getting your body to heal itself. So it's still very applicable. In other words, even more so today, especially when we're dealing with stress-induced disease. So very much so. And you know, as far as conventional allopathic medicine, well, you know, each medical system has its strength and its weaknesses. The strength of allopathic medicine is that it's very good at diagnosing. So really trying to figure out what's going on, what's wrong structurally, and then to you know, to use various means to treat. Now what I like is, because the way we practice for the last 25 years is collaboration. So we try to give patients the best of East and West. So an integrative approach to taking care of patients where, for the first, mostly we use a natural medicine, natural approaches, acupuncture, herbal therapy, nutrition, emotional wellness, meditation. And then when we see that there is an issue here, then we call in our allopathic collaboration here, and we work with many specialists. And what's really unique today and different than, let's say, 20 years ago, is that many of the allopathic physicians today are very open to working in collaboration. Because ultimately, I think we all have the same goal. We all want patients to get well with the least amount of invasiveness and side effects. So I think as long as we are, you know, the conventional medical model is open to really doing this collaboration, I think we're heading the right direction.
Well, Dr. Mal, thank you so much for being on the show and making our lives a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Wow, that was really impressive. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Until Mandy, until next week, anything else you'd like to add before we chime out?
No, but, you know, I'm going to come down and steal that book back from you, just an FYI.
Well, you'll have to pull it away. But thanks for tuning in, everyone. Really enjoyed the show with Dr. Mal. Thank you for joining us. Thanks, George, our host. And thank everyone. Until we see you next week, I hope you're less a little smarter.
Better.
Faster.
And rejuvenated.
Yay. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.